Being uncomfortable is something we customarily avoid. And yet any kind of sincere growth requires being uncomfortable. So when we're uncomfortable, we can look at it in a positive way, like, wow, something's really being excavated here. Or I'm meeting a part of me that I normally eclipse, that I normally am not willing to see, or just is not part of my daily life. And so during these eclipse portals, we get a chance. It's kind of like, peekaboo, guess what's under here?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Star Sound Speaks. This is your host, Irliana Samsara, with episode 275. Here we are in eclipse season. And as promised, here's Andrea Michelle. We have her back. So grateful. AndreaMichelleHeckel.com is her website address. Andrea is a visionary astrologer. If you don't know her work, you're in for a real treat. What I love about you, Andrea, is that you are so devoted to what we call the goddess planets. So sharing the benefits and the blessings of these mostly overlooked planets in delineation. So there's benefits and blessings, especially the four main asteroid planets, which are Pallas, Ceres, Juno, Vesta, and also for Andrea is Eris, because of her historical impact that she's making right now. With that, hello and welcome, and so excited to have you back, Andrea. Your solar eclipse video is still resonating in my heart and soul, and I know for a lot of other people. So very, very grateful.
I enjoy being with you and doing this so much. So thank you for having me back. Yeah.
I'm not going to cry again. Okay. Well, shall we dive into this lunar eclipse? October 28th. It's at 5 degrees, 9 minutes of Taurus. A lunar eclipse is always a full moon. And this represents the completion or something coming to a peak or fruition or completion. A lunar eclipse is like a full moon on steroids, just like the solar eclipse is like a new moon on steroids. So there's a massive completion, and the energy of that resonates out for many, many months beyond the normal full moon. Typically, couple of days, few days, you feel it before and after, but these have resonance. And I just want to say too, before we get into our deep dive with Andrea, this eclipse is the final eclipse in the Taurus-Scorpio axis. So we won't be visiting these archetypes again for another about 9 years. That in itself is another completion. So I just wanted to say that. And also just to remind everybody, you know, we're still, all of us, Andrea and I, we were just talking about this, we're going through, you know, it's very tumultuous. And in any eclipse season, and especially now, obviously, with what's going on in the world, we see it so clearly. And to just give ourselves a lot of space, just give ourselves space to process. Mm-hmm. I mean, last night, I almost thought, oh, my goodness, I thought I might have to, you know, cancel this thing, because I went through this wave of nausea, and I like never get nauseous. So just to allow ourselves that these things, let this eclipse magic work through us. And even if it makes us a little uncomfortable, on that note, I hand it over to you, Andrea.
Especially, I love that you just said that, Irliana, because being uncomfortable is something we customarily avoid. And yet any kind of sincere growth requires being uncomfortable. So when we're uncomfortable, we can look at it in a positive way. Like, wow, something's really being excavated here, or I'm meeting a part of me that I normally eclipse, that I normally am not willing to see, or just is not part of my daily life. And so during these eclipse portals, we get a chance. It's kind of like, peekaboo, guess what's under here?
I love it. It is the cosmic peekaboo.
It is.
I don't know why my eyes are tearing, but like, this is a living example of what you're talking about. You're not supposed to be crying on the camera. Who said?
Yes.
I'm just going to be raw and vulnerable. And I guess it's just stirring. Everything you're saying right now is just really resonating. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, this is great. I love what you said about allowing ourselves to be uncomfortable. This is something that, you know, we can practice in our daily lives. We don't have to wait for some grand celestial event to do it, right? It's just, that's what makes us resilient, what makes us more honest, what makes us more, it tenderizes us in our human experience too, right? So I love that you brought that in. Thank you. And
tenderizing, the full moon is exalted in Taurus, ruled by Venus. Let's talk about tenderizing.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. And like you said, this is the last eclipse in that that engages and involves the Taurus Scorpio axis. And there's a resonance for this eclipse to the eclipse in the spring of this year, the April eclipse, the solar one, because the nodes were at the same degrees back then as the sun and the moon are in this lunar eclipse. So for me, there's something around asking us to see where have we made more conscious our shadow material, and where is there still work to be done? With the polarizing energies of the Aries North Node, Libra South Node, are we still blaming others when things don't meet our expectations, right? This whole period of polarization is going to continue as long as it's going to be exacerbated for as long as the nodal axis is in Aries and Libra, because Libra is extremes, polarizing in the South Node capacity, right? It's the South energy, which is releasing karmic habit and more complacency. The North Node tends to be more where we're looking to have newer experiences and engage in that sign energy in a way that's new for us, right? So for as long as we're in this axis, which is, I think, going to be through most of January of 2025, this polarization is really going to continue to be strong for us collectively. Not to mention Eris, that really, really powerful Kuiper Belt planet on the North Node right now. She's the goddess of discord and chaos. And as you might remember, your listeners might remember from the solar eclipse I mentioned, discord means hearts apart. So she shows us where we are apart from our heart, where we are acting purely on, you know, and she was battle crazed, not in a terrible way in some respects, and I'll get to that in a second, but the instinct to just kind of like suss out what's wrong and show it. Basically, she's kind of like, she points out the emperor has no clothes, which can be very, very terrifying to the ego, because it's literally like there's an acceleration with Eris on the already, you know, accelerated North Node in Aries. So she's really demanding us to get more honest, to get more, where do we have no clothes? Where are we simply pointing out where other people don't, you know, where things are false in the outer world, but we're not attending to what's false and not and out of alignment and discordant in ourselves. So that's, you know, for me, it's no coincidence that the re-release of the Talking Head Stop Making Sense movie from 40 years ago is being released, because that's something that I feel that a lot of astrologers who work with, those who do work with Eris miss, is she's nonsense. She's nonsensical. She asks us to stop making sense, to come to our senses.
Stop making
sense. Because she's about aligning all of our intelligences, all of it, limbic, reptilian, mammalian, you know, neocortex, to bring us back into our full spectrum intelligence, right? And aliveness. So our senses are doorways to truth. They're not truth themselves. We tend to, a lot of times, we tend to really over-rely on our senses or our emotions, that we take for granted that they're immediately true or automatically true. But this is the Virgo as the South Node ruler, Virgo Venus as the South Node ruler. Where are we lacking discernment? She is with Black Moon Lilith. So it's showing us where we are automatically making assumptions about things. And so we can, like you beautifully said, give ourselves space. Like, where are we feeling like we are drawn into scenarios and situations where we have no sovereignty in them, right? This is what this whole eclipse is showing us too, is like, where are we feeling like we're at the mercy of outside influences, which really is showing us where I don't have me. So where can we practice having me? And one of the ways we can practice having me is stop the noise outside. I am choosing, Aries, to give myself space. That's one way of really acting on our own behalf. right? And not just being resorting to blaming because we feel like we're just at the mercy with these of these outer forces that we're not in control of. It's true, we're not in control, but we can be in charge of our choices. So this is a very strong Mars in this chart too, as the North Node ruler, and he's in Scorpio.
Right, now he's in domicile. Yeah, yep. He wasn't for the solar eclipse, but now he is.
No, exactly. So we're looking to penetrate into the excesses of escapism. He's opposite Jupiter in Taurus.
Here's Mars in domicile, close to 1 degree from Mercury. And I'm sorry, what was the thing you were just saying?
We're looking to penetrate into the excesses of escapism, which is the opposing Jupiter and Taurus.
Right.
Jupiter retrograde in Taurus.
Right.
And also where we're believing our sensations rather than looking to get underneath them.
Because Jupiter is about belief, right? What do you believe? And then, of course, the retrograde journey that Jupiter's been on since about Labor Day, and it will continue until the end of the year. What do you believe? Or the things you thought you believed in. I love what you were just saying about the senses. Do you believe your senses as to be the truth? Or is there something beyond that?
Yes, like exactly.
They're doorways, so, not the be all and end all.
Precisely. And so we have to come to our senses to recognize how much we are giving our power to our sensations, that we trust them over our deeper intelligence that informs our sensations, but our sensations are equally informed by our karma, our habits, epigenetic influences. Epigenetics are influences that affect our genome beyond our DNA. I mean, beyond our ancestry. Epigenetics, so outside of, beyond, okay? So Mars is ruling this North Node energy. So any amount of honest work in really sussing through, going deeper than what's surface, than what our how our nervous systems are responding, and making the choice to give ourselves permission, to give ourselves space, as you said, any amount of honest work around this can ignite more courage and enhance our ability to make new choices in the future in the area of our charts where Mars and the North Node are transiting. I have a little prayer that I say kind of for myself every morning and when I, after my practice, and I devote my practice. It's just a very simple thing, and it's, may courage revive you, love hold you, and kindness guide you. Very simple, talk about pith, right? Little prayer that I use every morning. So
I love it.
If that's supportive for your listeners, I'd love to, you know, just want to share that.
So grateful for that. And with Mars in his domicile in Scorpio, with that conjunction with Mercury, it's like, don't be afraid to plumb those fears, that compunction to have to control everything, and how the liberation that comes and the renewal and the regeneration that comes when we can face these fears and shadow work so deeply and transform from the inside out.
Very good. And this is Mars at the end of his cycle. He's about to transition into a new cycle. So this is invisible Mars, invisible Mercury, also invisible Ceres, who's there, because she's about to transition. She and Mars are going to be bosom buddies for each of their new cycles with the sun.
Right.
So there's something around, and she's ultimately about surrender, but also where are we attached? You know, Scorpio is the sign most closely associated with our evolutionary impulse itself. But it can also be, because it's fixed, where we're refusing. Where am I still holding on to needing to know and manipulate for safety? How can I bring more conscious awareness to where I need to manipulate information or feel I am being manipulated by other people's information at the mercy of? And where can I surrender that?
And I also wonder about, like, in the collective, about fear when I see this, like the fear-based programming that has, you know, when I think about Mercury and news media, like there's a lot of fear-based programming there, and maybe just talk about coming to our senses about that, and maybe recognizing it for what it is.
That's very good. Because Ceres is, Elias Lonsdale speaks about Ceres as propaganda. She can indicate propaganda. So again, media propaganda to manipulate. You got it.
Here
Where
it
can
is.
we,
There's theories.
Where can we let go of where we have to believe that? Where we are, again, at the mercy of the big propaganda machine, no matter what it is. And no matter what side we are on, if we're on a particular side of anything, whether it's Israel, Hamas, whatever, you know, the latest polarization is, whatever the latest thing is to separate people and keep them at each other's throats, there is equal deception and truth on either side. There is no one victor. There is no one side in the right, ever. And there's the ambiguity of this sort of like invisibility, not only because of Scorpio, but again, as I mentioned, all these planets are technically invisible. They're harder to, it's harder to access their agency when they're invisible.
Right. And when you're saying, just so our audience knows, when you're saying invisible, you're talking about the fact that they're, see how Mercury is only 5 degrees from the sun and Mars is 6 degrees from the sun. So they're under, they're called a combust planets when they're under the beams of the sun, that they can't be seen. But yes, eventually they do come out heliacal rising or heliacal setting, and they come out from under the beams. And so I think too, it's worth mentioning that it, and when, as we are going through this transformation that is occurring in this eclipse window, perhaps some of these insights, they certainly are not neatly packaged at the end of an eclipse. It does roll out. And when Mars gets out from under the beams of the sun, and I think it's 15 degrees is when it's, yeah, so it's got another, you know, 9 degrees to go before it moves away. So it can be seen in literally, you know, seen in the sky. And so when that happens, of course, that's probably when more of this will become clear to us. So again, if you're feeling thrown around and not quite, things having not settled, it might be until Mars and Mercury get further away from the sun, so our thoughts can become clearer and more distinct. So I just wanted to share that.
Yes, and it's an awesome time to just relish not needing to be clear.
Right.
We can let ourselves off the hook. I don't have to know right now. The planets are actually supporting me to be in a space of let's just wait and see. But this wait and see can be this kind of waiting for something. It's like I can give myself permission to create the space to surrender my need to control, surrender making fear my enemy, and allow the fear to just be, again, a doorway too, because our emotions and our senses are doorways. They are not the truth itself. They are doorways into something deeper. So beautiful. Yes, give ourselves time. Eclipses will manifest and expose over time what it is that we're learning about it. And it can just happen spontaneously. We don't have to go back and track and look at everything. It'll just start to happen in our own experience. And there's a Rilke quote that I would love to share at the end, if that's something that the exactly along these lines, Ileana. So, okay. So of all the things in this chart, the last thing I really want to share is Pallas Athena. Pallas Athena and Venus, because she's there with the South Node.
Here's Pallas Athena for everybody who's not familiar with these symbols. Pallas Athena, here's the South Node. Very close. Yeah. Coming into a conjunction in the aftermath of this eclipse, it will, you know, really hook up. But yes, definitely a strong influence.
Yeah. And she is opposite Eris. Pallas Athena, for me, she holds the complex love-hate relationship with our fathers, especially women with their fathers, okay? Or father authority figures. So it can be a teacher. It can be a mentor. It can be a government. It can be an institution. It can be a religion. Anything that has to do with a father-like figure. She holds this complex of having to subjugate the feminine or the mother to appease or please the father. for survival, you could say, or because she was exalted. But there's this sense of remorse with Pallas that is the factor that draws her back to her longing to her mother, the longing to know her own wisdom, not just intelligence, not just strategy, not just the objective ability to see the bigger picture, which is more of the masculine. There's zero wrong with that. We need that as well. But she's also where we have had to subjugate our own feminine wisdom and truth to overemphasize, to live in the man's world, to live with the anticipation or expectation of the father and any disappointment that comes around that. She's very, very powerful, especially with this eclipse. So where are we still holding on to? She's squaring, as the nodes are, Pluto there in Capricorn, right? So people, organizations, institutions in power, where have we had to abnegate the pursuit of our own truth, of our own freedom, to be the full complement of ourselves, masculine and feminine, women and men, Aries North Node, to pursue that. And Eris is stirring the pot. So Pallas on the South Node here is, where can we give ourselves permission to grieve if we have, no matter what our relationship with our father, we might find situations in the external mirroring and bringing up some deep core wounding around our fathers, how much we actually love our fathers and we didn't have a good relationship, how much we were resenting our fathers, even though we had a seemingly good relationship, but we didn't realize I harbor so much even hate or like anger against my father. Like, allow it all to come up, but don't believe any of it. Remember, our emotions and our sensations are not the end. They are a doorway, but we have to go through the process of cleaning the pipes, as I call it, having our emotional experience, allowing our sensations to be there, but not believing them face value at what they are. But cleaning this out is really going to help, to whatever extent we even begin during this portal, to realign us with the truth of how we are endogenously wired to contribute to a society that's not part of the patriarchal mold that we are familiar with from the last 5,000-6,000 years. We have to unwind and unravel the very complex signatures that live within us that are being amplified and exemplified in the outer world. Because social justice is, because she's associated with social justice is a wonderful thing. But unless it's coming from a place of healthy integration from the places in ourselves where we have made reconciled these places in us, it's just promoting and promulgating, fighting, division, derision, and doesn't really solve anything. It's just perpetual fighting against.
Yeah, has to be rooted in that deep authenticity of self.
Exactly. And with Venus, this lunar eclipse might be showing where we don't yet have the discernment for that, but it's the initiating impulse. Because Pallas just began her new sun cycle with the sun at zero Libra. So she's got a lot to show us around Libra energies. This is just the beginning of this coming to reconciliation of that aspect of our psyche, the daughter-father paradigm, father-daughter. This is just the beginning. We might not have the discernment now, but it might start to just show up in our lives, and just to be careful and pay attention to that.
Yeah. I'm looking at the dispositors, like here's, she's in Venus's domicile. Here's Venus in Virgo, which is technically, you know, in ancient astrology would say Venus is in its fall. It's a difficult place. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of support. It's a challenge. But of course, everything, there's always a positive side to that. And then I look at Mercury. Okay, she's in Mercury's domicile. Mercury's in Mars, and Mars is in, you know, you follow the chain back, Mars is in its domicile. So Mars is the final dispositor of that conversation that you just so beautifully shared with us. So it's like, by taking action, by being strong, by being resilient, by being courageous and courageously facing these dark subconscious fears, that ultimately, you know, that's where it all rests. It's all kind of rooted in that process.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds great. And also and surrendering the negativity, not believing the negativity either. Yeah.
Yeah, that exact opposition with Jupiter. Don't believe the negativity. Don't believe the fear. Don't buy into fear. I think about Scorpio, you know, it can be very scary. You know, it's a scary unknown place. And I would say too, maybe this retrograde Jupiter in Taurus is like, believe in yourself, or do you realize how resilient you are? Maybe you've had doubts about that, but you have the resilience to do this. You got this.
Yes. Exactly. And it might not be until Jupiter stations direct. Coming back to what you illustrated is that, are we willing to be uncomfortable in what we don't know? Are we willing to not have the answers right away? And again, this comes back to the Rilke quote that I would love to share. I had dinner with a friend last night and she had this on her refrigerator. And this seems very appropriate to our conversation, Juliana, and what you're bringing in. So he writes, "I beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and to try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer."
Wow.
This is what I love about when I speak about giving ourselves space to get ourselves off the hook and not have to know, because that literally then puts down the frantic mind where there's zero vitality, there's zero anything actually creative happening, to allow for the creative impulse of life itself to inform us.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, we are living the answers. We don't have to know them. And it's so much more juicy, and life wants us to live and be alive. North Node in Aries. That's what Eris wants for us too. She wants us to examine and see, be confronted with where we are bullshitting ourselves, not to punish us, but to give us an opportunity to say, "I'm done bullshitting myself here. I might not be done bullshitting myself there yet. Great. I focus on where I feel like I can work." And that's empowerment.
And the rest will reveal itself when it does.
Yeah.
And that to not have to cling and worry and have to figure that out. Wow, this has been such a great episode. Lots of deep nuggets here.
Yes, it was great. And I love what you brought in about Mars being the final dispositor there too. Absolutely.
Yay, Mars.
Yes.
Mars is in Taurus. Oh my God. It's like, no, it's good. Mars in Scorpio is not Mars in Aries, folks. Let's remember the difference. This is yin. This is night, yin, feminine, intuitive. So we got that going for us. If anybody has any questions about Andrea's work, please do visit her, AndreaMichelleHeckel.com. The link is below. There's some really great things coming up. Anything you want to share or announce about that?
Oh, yeah. So I am really excited to be part of the third Sky Astrology Conference. It's happening on, I've heard people pronounce it Tybee Island or Tybee Island, T-Y-B-E-E. It's an island off the coast of Savannah, Georgia. The Sky Astrology Conference is the brainchild of Gary Caton, Adam Gainsburg, and Julene Lewis. And it is an astrology conference devoted to bringing back the living sky into astrology practice. So the whole conference is founded around a particular viewable phenomenon in the sky. And this is going to be the moon, early February. The dates are the 6th to the 9th, where the moon is going to meet up with Venus and then Mars before their conjunction later on in February in Aquarius. So, and the conferences are always just like family. Like, they're not super huge. It's a really great group. It's so much fun. We go sky watching sometimes in the morning, at night, and it's just yummy. And I'm very excited to be a part of that. Yeah.
Awesome. So, can they go to your website for that information?
No, it's not there yet. They can email me info@AndreaMichelleHeckel.com. So anyway, that's the most exciting thing. Plus these asteroid goddess webinars that I'm doing live that are going to be available for recording down the pike, but we can talk about that some other time.
Yeah, those are going to be so neat, because I definitely want to learn more about them and incorporate them more into my practice. It's so vital. Yay. All right, guys. Well, that's all for today. And we are so glad you joined us. And if you like this content, please feel free to subscribe, like, share, comment. We, of course, love to hear from you and know how you're doing. Yeah, that's all for now. Thank you all for listening. And this is Andrea Michelle Heckel and Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com. And have a wonderful, wonderful day.